You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Women's blind football has been going from strength to strength over recent months, and that was celebrated recently by the launch of the England women's side. The team will head to the 2022 IBSA Blind Football Women's European Championships in June. They've been training at the home of English football, St George's Park, ahead of the Euros and next year's World Games in Birmingham. I caught up with team coach Lauren Asquith and player Nell Doubledy during the camp. I asked Lauren how the women's side got their start.
Yeah, it's a relatively new squad. So we started with activity days in September. So Nell was one of the first girls to attend. And we've gradually built that up on a monthly basis where we've gone from activity days to development camps to basically where we are now. And we had our first game over the Easter holidays against Sweden.
How did you get on?
We had 2-0 draws, so we did all right for our first ever games.
So it's a big weekend for the England blind women's side with the launch and the training camp at St George's Park. Now, what do you hope to get done during the camp?
I think just getting ready for Italy, having more practice games, just getting ready to play drills, like just getting more confident with it all.
And Lauren, as the coach, what are your priorities?
For us, it's about making sure the girls are relaxed when we go out to Italy. We're really aware that it's a relatively new environment for the girls to be in. And what we don't want to do is frighten anyone. Italy is a big step. These girls are trailblazers within England. They are going to be basically role models of the future for girls that come into the sport. So for us, it's about firming up our tactics, kind of polishing the technical skills, but very much kind of making sure the girls are confident and comfortable into Italy in preparation then for 2023 when the World Games are in Birmingham.
And Nell, how have the players found the facilities at St George's Park? They're pretty special, aren't they?
Yeah, they're really nice. It's really nice to train here because of the facilities of being so good.
Yeah, it's an absolute privilege to have the para squad here. You know, we're at the home of English football, so absolutely, the girls have every right to be here. But yeah, you know, the moment you go through the gates at the entrance, I still get goosebumps no matter, and I practically live here. I'm here that often. But yeah, it is incredible, and we're really thankful to the FA for giving us that opportunity.
So for people who haven't played the game before or been involved, what sort of equipment do you need for blind football?
You need a ball with a bell in it, blindfolds, and then you've got a sighted goalie. And then guides behind the goals to help, like, know where you're going.
Yeah, so it's a really audible sport. The ball itself has kind of got ball bearings in now. It did used to very much have a bell in it, but because of the kind of sound on AstroTurf, which we tend to play on, the ball bearings with metal panels in the ball, it allows, when the ball's moving, to give off a rattling sound. We also have boards down the touch lines, which keep the ball in play, but also allow for echolocation so the girls can work out where they are on the pitch. The pitch is split up into thirds as well. So at each third, you've got somebody who's sighted controlling that. So in our defensive third, for example, you'd have the goalkeeper who's fully sighted. In the central third, that would be managed by the head coach from the sideline. And then in the attacking third, you'll have a sighted guide behind the goal of the opposition.
And now, what are some of the skills you think that players need to play the game?
Good communication, because we have to say "voi" before tackling. So you need to be able to like communicate with the other team and the goalie. So listening is important too. And just teamwork with each other. Make sure you talk.
And Lauren, as a coach, what do you look for in players?
For us, I think it's about players that are passionate and confident. It is a sport that's quite physical, but what we're able to do is build that up and phase that into the learning experience. So we won't throw someone straight into a full game before they've learnt the basic fundamental skills. So control, dribble, being able to have the ball under control is one of the kind of prime things, because within blind football, if you lose possession of the ball or lose control and the ball stops rolling, that's when we stop hearing it. So having that close control and the ability to keep hold of it for a prolonged period of time, it makes it that much easier for players.
And a lot of the work that you're doing today is building towards your trip to Italy next month. What are you going to be up to when you're out there?
So in Italy, we'll be partaking in the first ever Women's European Championships led by IBSA. I know we've definitely got a game against Germany, so that'll be our first game. The girls will also be going through their first experience of classification, but it will just allow us to start to get that momentum, you know, playing a full international fixture overseas, whilst having things like the national anthem, the kit with the name on the back. It just starts to really build what we're aiming for in 2023.
And now, what does it mean to you to be able to play the game at such a high level?
Yeah, it's pretty special. Like, from where we began in September to now is massive progress. So it's just amazing to see how far we've come as a team.
And the FA is looking for ways to get more people to take part in the game. What would you say to people who had maybe never thought about trying blind football before?
Yeah, 100%. We've currently got a kind of referral process online. So if people were to go on England Football website, they'd be able to find the Football Your Way, but then also alongside that, there's specific impairment-specific opportunities where people can access and even find where their local opportunity would be available. But if not, going to their local county football association, that's the kind of broader network that we've got on the ground, and there'll be somebody there that's dedicated to disability football who'll be able to signpost to the right place.
And how is the sport growing now, Lauren, in the UK amongst men's and women's teams?
Yeah, we're starting to see a global movement, to be honest. It's not just in the UK. Obviously, within the UK, we're seeing more and more young people start playing at an earlier age through a programme called Project B1. And there start to be community hub sites where young players can start from the age of 7 and be involved within local centres. And what that's allowed us to do is start to find players earlier and kind of give coaches the skill set to be able to support those players. We've just introduced that programme. We're running a pilot at the moment for that to be included in the national school games. So part of the kind of national schools competition cycle, which will be huge for the game, because if children are starting to play it within their school environment, it means that they're going to be developing at a kind of quicker rate. But also it means that some of our players that will come from mainstream environments, for example, we've got players that have had bad experiences in PE because they've been excluded because it's not been something that's been accessible for them. So what that programme does is allow sighted peers to also take part in the game. So if we've got one student with a visual impairment, it means that they don't have to train in isolation. It means that other students can be put under blindfold in a safe environment, which also allows those skills to be developed. And what we found from that is the players who have a visual impairment actually become the better players in that PE lesson. So their peers want to learn from them, as opposed to being the ones that are either sat out or that are struggling to kind of keep up because the accessibility is not quite there.
And this training camp feels like a celebration as much as anything of how far blind football has come. How has the FA's Football Your Way programme had an impact on the game?
Yeah, so Football Your Way, obviously when that was launched, it was a huge factor for the push towards developing this squad and starting to get the momentum moving. We committed to having a squad by 2024. Obviously with the natural targets that we had with the World Games being in 2023, it meant that we could push that momentum a little bit quicker than we have with some of the other squads to ensure that we're at the forefront, I think. There's only so often you get a World Games on home soil, so it would have seemed like a really kind of great opportunity to miss that. But yeah, the FA have really bought into the development of this squad, so I think that's been a driving force of it, and it's meant that we've had the kind of funding and workforce support to be able to do that.
And Nell, what's the feeling like in the camp ahead of the Euros this year and the World Games next year? Are you excited? Are you nervous?
I think it's a mixture of both. I think more excitement, but there was obviously a little bit of nerves there. But I think everyone's really, really looking forward to it.
And the games from the Euros will be streamed on the IBSA website. How else can people support the team?
So for us, it is kind of that call out to, we want as many people there as possible to support the girls when we're on home soil. So keep watching this space. I think keep being in the kind of the backgrounds cheering us on, and yeah, I think that'll be something that'll really help us.
Well, we wish you the very best of luck out there in Italy for the Euros, and we'll be cheering you on from home. Nell Doubledy, Lauren Asquith, thanks for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.